Hi, I've likened to NOS me, Alan Smith, but we publish stories out of the Daily Express and Journal on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. So, front page of paper today is NHS medics might quit if they cannot use ARI car park. So it says doctors and nurses at Aberdeen Royal Infirmary have warned they could quit if they are not allowed to use this multi-storey car park. Exasperated employees fired off their grievances in a string of letters to Aberdeen City Council, supporting a rule change at Lady Helen facility at Europe's largest hospital complex. Crikey, imagine that now. NHS Grumpian is awaiting consent for the local authority to remove strict planning conditions on the 13-storey car park, which was open for patients and visitors only in 2018, but made available for staff use during the pandemic. Rona McMenamin has worked at ARI for more than 20 years and claims the city campus is the worst parking she has ever experienced. She said opening up the Lady Helen has made a huge difference and has minimised the stress of trying to get a car parked and to get to clinics to see patients on time. Fellow NHS employee Margaret Burnton-Lang said expecting a staff member to wait for a bus early in the morning or wait in the dark winter months for a bus to take him home is not an option. If they didn't have a place to park for work purposes, ARI will lose staff, which will put pressure on staff left and affect patient care. Interim Chief Executive of NHS Grumpian Adam Caldwell also submitted a supporting letter stating he was a strong supporter of the rule change. So, well, surely to God there'd be enough space for or a dedicated fleet or something for staff to, you know, park in. If they're doing shifts, there'll be cars in route for there all the time, but you know, it would be guy frustrating if he was working and you couldn't get a parking space. That would just absolutely pee anybody off. So hopefully the council will see sense and change the rules so that staff can park here. God almighty, can I park here at work? Nonsense. No, just I don't hear bricks here now, but it's panto season starts has been announced already. So crikey, and we're not even into May yet. With the 3-5-4 fun in store is Stars return for Panto. So some familiar faces will be returning to Aberdeen this Panto season to take to the stage at His Majesty's Theatre. The classic tale of Jack and the Beanstalk will be brought to life by last year's Panto cast, including Scotland's favourite Squaddy, Gary Tank Commander. Greg McHugh's much-loved character will entertain the troops and Granite City audiences during the festive season. Panto favourite Alan McHugh will don his writing and acting hat once again for his 20th year as Aberdeen's Dame. He penned last year's production of Sleeping Beauty, which delighted crowds with his local banter, musical moments and entertaining characters. Dame Trot is certain to bring plenty of laughs alongside comic actor Paul J. Corrigan as Patrick Coo, while the boos are likely to be aimed at Julia Coombs, Mrs. Blunderbore. Three homegrown talents complete the cast with Daniel Jam back as the Spirit of the Beans and Michael Carl Lewis and Gemma Ferris as Jack and Princess Jill. Danielle was previously nominated for the Pantomime Awards for her performance in Beauty and the Beast at HMT. They will all star in Jack and the Beanstalk between Saturday, November 30th and Sunday, January the 5th. Aberdeen Performing Arts Chief Executive Sharon Burgess said, after a tremendous response to last year's Panto, with a spectacular cast, we're delighted to welcome him back for the gigantic family adventure that is Jack and the Beanstalk. So, well, I didn't see it last year, but, you know, Panto was always a good laugh, and, you know, we had a long, a lot of years when we get down every Christmas Eve, and it certainly took kids' minds off her. Sunday coming at night or next day after that. So, yeah, it was a good laugh, really good fun. And, you know, it's a good thing for kids to see it. Like I said, it's, it takes their minds off, I think, for like a couple of hours anyway. Because, you know, otherwise they're just up to 99. It's, nobody gets on to sleep. Now, here's a nursery training facility, top of the class. So, an Aberdeen training facility which produces staff for nurseries and Uta school clubs in and around the city has been deemed sector leading by inspectors. Great Western Early Years has been providing early learning and childcare for more than 35 years. Based on Great Western Road, the centre provides staff for 5 nurseries at Great Western Road, Broomhill Road, Kingswells and Aberdeen, as well as 2 nurseries in Portlethen. It also operates out-of-school clubs at Ashley Road School, Broomhill School, Holborn West School, Kingswells, Portlethen and West Hill. Plans are afoot to open 3 more out-of-school clubs. The Training and Assessment Centre helps folk gain their qualifications and is particularly active with those undertaking apprenticeships. Having been visited by inspectors for Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Education, nonetheless, over 3 days last month, the final report was published yesterday. Great Western Early Years, which sponsored our recent Pounds for Primaries giveaway, received a rare grading of excellent for leadership and quality. The inspector's definition of excellent is outstanding and sector leading. In addition, service delivery, safeguarding and meeting the needs of apprentices were graded very good. So, well, that is excellent news for them, obviously. It'll probably get more folk needing to get and do their training there, and why not if they're as good as that? You know, but really, how hard could it be to look after nursery kids? I mean, you know, you just have to make an aeroplane noise when you're giving them something to eat, and or a train or something like that, and they'll be happy as Larry, I'm sure. And you know, play some games if that's what they like. Pretty easy to keep happy, you would think, with them. Maybe not so much, to be fair, if there's a, you know, 20 or 30 of them are running about squalling, making a noise. That wouldn't be test your patience. Well done, I slot, though. Now, here's a council. It launches test of latest gear to scare off gulls. So, Aberdeenshire Council will trial solar-powered sonar equipment to deter gulls for nesting at 3 northeast sites. The devices, which cause no harm to the birds, have been installed at West Hill and Fishermoss Primary Schools, as well as units at Fraserburgh's West Shore Industrial Estate. They're expected to be in place for 10 to 12 weeks. Councillor Alan Turner, Chairman of Aberdeenshire Council's Infrastructure Services Committee, said, "We are keen that gulls are opportunistic scavengers, and I think every community across the region will have suffered from them grabbing on the food scraps that we leave lying about, or worse, by those who exacerbate the issue by feeding them. With the better weather now approaching, we ken that the vast majority of folk will bin the rubbish appropriately when they're out and about in Aberdeenshire or take it home, and we thank those who do act responsibly. Comparisons will later be drawn for the numbers of nests and eggs removed in years previously for the trial sites, and the volumes removed this year with the sonar units in place to measure its success. If successful, the council will consider introducing additional devices across hotspot areas prior to next year's nesting season." So, well, they are a blooming pest as gulls, and can somebody who's tell this to them? They came out of Tesco in Inverurie with something, can't remember what it was, or just saying like a little cheese snack thing or something like that, and they went to their shopping in a white car, and Flemming Bird come down and swooped it, picked it out of their hand, and Grawan ate it. So, when they get back and tell Tesco they've got another thing, but not the same, it's not very fine hearing birds coming down and just picking stuff out of your hand, and they're just a blooming pest. So, No, I can't be doing them. I think if they were a sonar things there to give them a flag every now and again, that'll be good. I mean, back in the years ago, when I was a loon, it was a like, gas gun kind of thing that Dad put out in the parks when I was crops was newly sown, and then to keep birds away, because they're just dead when they ate that thing. So you just hear us boom going off every now and again, and that was a gun, and that's like the birds of us. So maybe this is an up-to-date equivalent to that, or the council certainly moving with the times, but hopefully it works and keeps the gulls away somewhere else. I suppose they'll just get the next village along, so then they'll hit double the amount of gulls. Now here's our paths group. This is a new section of walkway in Deeside Woods open. So a new section of path has been opened at Dam Wood yet they're fans of which actually the centre of the universe, I think you'll find. MSB Alexander Burnett attended a ribbon cutting ceremony to unveil the path. He said, "I'm honoured to open the Dom Wood path, which will give residents and visitors new opportunities to explore our beautiful walks in Royal Dee Side. I commend the dedication and tremendous work by the volunteers at the Turfans Path Group to turn this exciting project into reality, making it easier than ever to visit our varied landscapes and see our abundant wildlife. The 500-metre path developed by Turfans Path Group is an extension of the pathway at Easter Beltie River Restoration Site, which was completed in 2022. Along the way, there is interpretation boards highlighting the rich culture of Deeside over the years. Display panels feature along Black Lynn Bridge, which showcase the history of the Deeside Railway and the Gordon Highlander, a steam locomotive that ran in the line for the early 20th century to the 1950s. So, just to come to the fore of my time, Mr. Burnett added, the new path will not only be beneficial to the health and well-being of all those who use it, but will also protect our area for future generations to enjoy and explore. This project will help to form wider plans to connect Turfans and Bunkry into one long trail, allowing walkers to access fantastic places. The path terminates at a new lay-by on the Glassell Road, completing 2 kilometres of the proposed Turfans to Bunkry path. Plan to connect with the new path developments at Bunkry and the Deeside. Why? So, crikey. Well, it's going to be something, and I've seen only that. So, I'll look at you next time when we're at Turfans Market with Snohery Jocks, which will be next Wednesday, 1st of May. But yeah, well, that sounds good, except, you know, when the fudge walking down to Bunkry bonus way, but it means through some rare bits and very. Yeah, some of our bonny scenery, I'm sure you'd pass through and you see a lot of wild beasties on the go. But yeah, well, as they say, the best thing out of Bunkry and out of Byne is a road to Turfans. So, nail these there. Now, just finish up with sport as normal. And back page paper today is Polvara says we can impress Tellin. So, Dante Polvara believes the Aberdeen players must use the last 5 games of the season to prove to new manager Jimmy Tellin they have a future at Pittodrie. Tellin is due to arrive at the Dons in June if they're being confirmed as a new Aberdeen manager last week. Polvara is excited at the prospect of playing for the Swede and insists the final games are a chance for him and his teammates to impress the incoming manager. Well, what's up today? He didn't impress the last a couple of managers, but they may have a lot of them, and when they be in this position of playing for, you know, the best of the rest, the top team in the bottom half of the league. But anyway, that's far apart, so we can only hope it put in a good puckle performances between, well, for the last 2 or 3 games there is, and you know, get to the top of the second division as it is. Anyway, still our team, we have to support them, so come on, everybody. No, that's me done for today. Now, so we pop with stories of today's Press and Journal on Wednesday, 24th of April 2024. And it was quite a bright day today. No rain or nothing at the Spico. And just, for you would say, warm, quite a chilly kind of wind, but still much brighter than of late. So we can just have to talk for what we can get, but we're looking for some finer days coming up now, surely to God. Kind of keep on being as cold as this and as much rain as this, it's just a flipping disaster. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. New, hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please let somebody care about it. You know, especially if we could, maybe, you know, all northeast loons or quines for us biding somewhere else new, or focusing on a hospital or something, or maybe in an old folks home or something, need something to pass the time of day, they'll can log into Doric Express and hear some of the top stories of the northeast. If you can manage that, it would just be dandy. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Doodaloo.